Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, give yourself a hand clap, a virtual hand clap. Amen. I'm glad that you are here. I know that no one's here by mistake. You might think, oh, well, yeah, I just happen to be on it, or I'm on it all the time, but I believe that God handpicked before the foundation of the earth, predestined, that he handpicked each of you to be here on tonight. And because he has a word for each of us, he has a word of encouragement. You know, I believe that processing the pain on Thursday night is really a platform and a place for encouragement. It is to restore hope to a hopeless generation. Many of us go through things in life that causes us to be hopeless, and yes, you know, as believers, most of us as believers, you know, mature believers, yes, we know that God is able. Yes, we know to lean and depend on God. Yes, we know to acknowledge him in all of our ways so that he could direct our path. Yes, we know scripture after scripture after scripture that tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. We know these things, right? But life has a way, and I'm not going to say but because it doesn't erase that. It doesn't stop us from knowing. But life has a way of bringing us some stuff. And when we're going through that stuff, sometimes it makes it difficult for us to, it causes us to become weak. And many of us have lost hope. some of us faith has become weak. We've become weary. We've become brokenhearted. We've become troubled. So much stuff that we go through. Because why? Because we have a soul. We have a soul. And it's our soul that dictates our will, or, you know, our emotions. It's our soul that deals with the emotions, the carnal man. So because we have a soul, we're going to experience all that. Even when Jesus was here on the earth, he experienced emotion. He was God himself. But he came down in order, you know, in a form, in flesh, so that he could go through what we're going to go through, and so he could show us that we've overcome it, right? So I'm just saying, we got, you know, so don't be so hard on yourself when you're going through life and all of a sudden emotions hit you, or you feel down, or you feel, you know, discontent, or let's say depressed. You know, the world gives titles and tags, and they put the negative with it. But how, you know, is depression really negative? Does it have to be negative? I mean, when I read stories in the Bible, they didn't use the term depressed. But I could think of many men and women of God that went through seasons of depression. You know, started with one of his, you know, great prophets, Elijah. You know, he went through depression. You know, man, he was all alone. He felt like nobody else in the world cared. Nobody else was trying to make sure that the people did what God wanted them to do, you know, and he felt alone. I would think that maybe that was a form of depression. Because when you're feeling depressed, you feel all alone. You feel isolated. You feel unmotivated. You don't feel like you want to do anything or go anywhere. You don't even, you know, you don't want to get up when you're going through depression. You know, you may overeat, or you may not eat at all. So it has so many tags that's tied to it. And it's okay. Go through what you need to go through. But hear the word, go through. Don't get somewhere and get stuck. Don't get somewhere and stay. Don't get into depression and allow it to cause you to feel so hopeless that you would be willing to take your life, not even your life, but the life that God has given you. Don't, you know, don't let it keep you stagnant and stuck. Process through it no matter how hard it is. And I know it's easier said than done. I can speak on it because I've been there. I'm doing that. I'm there. And so I know I'm pushing. I refuse to lay down and die. I refuse to just lay and not kick. I refuse to quit. I will push through this. Because why? Because trouble don't last always. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. Why do I know that? Because I've been here before. I've been here. Maybe not the exact same thing, but I've been in this place before. I've been in the valley, and I've been in the peaks, you know, and I'm learning how to deal with both. I'm learning how to push through both. No, it ain't easy. It's not easy at all. But I thank God for his word. I thank God for sending people that know his word. I thank God for sending people that will minister to me and to you all to get his word in us so that we will know that we're not alone, that yes, we could do this thing called life. Yes, we could go through these trials and tribulations. Because guess what? It says in his word that we will go through them. We will go through trials and tribulations. We will go through things. As I was studying for tonight, well, actually how the subject came about, you know, my sermon tonight is, it is. It is. And that came because I was speaking to my mentor this past Monday. It's a major event took place in my life, and I'm going to share that, not tonight, but I'm going to share it at another time. A lot of times I'm very transparent, and I prefer to share life events and things and situations that I go through once I get through them. So I am going through something right now. I haven't made it all the way through it, but I'm going through it. And I was speaking with my mentor on this past Monday, and I was sharing with him the series of events that took place for me Monday. And, you know, quite naturally, in the natural, it's alarming. It's this event that took place that would say, oh, my goodness, you know, it could cause for worry and fear and begin to cause for doubt. And so quite naturally, my mentor asked me, well, are you okay? How are you feeling about these series of events? And the only thing I could say, and I don't know if I was numb or what, is it is. It is. And tonight, my prayer is that as God navigates us through his word and as he gives us tangible examples of others who have gone through or who are going through, that we will get to a point in life, instead of worrying and panic and fear, that we'll get to a point in life where it is. It is. And now this is not even biblical when I say it is, because what comes to mind is a saying I used to say back in the day when I was out there in the world, it is what it is. And, you know, it is what it is. And what it is life. And life will have trials and tribulations. Life is going to have pain. And we got to find tools and resources how to process through life's pain. And our first resource is Jesus, is God, is his word. That's our first resource, is trust him. But when we say trust God, that don't mean just lay down and like, okay, I'm just going to lay down and wait for God to do something. That's not what that means, because wait upon the Lord, and I think I shared this a couple of weeks ago, wait doesn't mean stagnant. Wait is a verb. It means to serve. It means to serve. You know, when you go to a restaurant, you know, as a waiter or a waitress, they're serving us. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. While we're waiting, when we're going through situations, you know, we're supposed to be active. While we're waiting on the Lord to come through and with his favor, his grace, his mercy, his favor to change the situation, you know, it's not for us to stay stagnant, because maybe one day you laying in the bed and God may tell you, he may tell you to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He may tell you to get up and start praying. And I shared this before. He may tell you to get up and go to the gym or get up and go to Starbucks. And you think, wow, Lord, I'm tired. I've been up all night. I don't want to get up. But then you just missed the answer to your prayer. The answer to your prayer. A lot of times we're praying to God, and we're expecting answers from him. We want to see, Lord, I need help. I'm in a situation. Father God, bless me. Father God, I need this. I need that. Help me, Lord. And we're praying and all this. But then when he's ready to give us an answer, we're too sleepy. Or we scrolling through social media. Are we on the phone jaw-jacking? Are we watching some TV show? Ain't nothing wrong with watching TV. Ain't nothing wrong with talking on the phone to a friend. There's nothing wrong with going through social media. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes God is trying to give us an answer, and we're too preoccupied with the things of this world. We're too carnal-minded for us to even hear God give us an answer. You know, sometimes I got to be transparent right now. Sometimes I hate to do this show. Sometimes I really hate to do this show. In the midst of me doing the show, God be ministering to me before it ministers to you. And right now he's ministering to me. And the reason I say I hate to do this show sometimes is because once you know better, you better do better. And when God is using me as a vessel to minister in this show, sometimes I'm getting some things. I'm getting answers. I'm getting orders. You know, there's things he's telling me. And I'm going to be held accountable for everything he tells me that I don't do. And how do we know when we're not doing what God is telling us to do? Because we could try to pretend like we don't hear him. We could try to pretend like we missed it. But the reality of it is, the only person that knows is us and God. And when we're not doing what he's called us to do, we have no rest. We have no rest. And maybe you don't know. I'm not saying everybody knows. Maybe you're still trying to hear God tell you what it is that he wants you to be doing. But for some of us, he's probably told us. And we're not doing what he's told us to do. And so we don't have no peace. We don't have no rest. And his word, the word of God tells us about his place of rest. And the only way we could get into his places of rest is to be in, is to be in obedience to him. I'm going to go through, I done got off track here, but I'm back on track. He needed that. He needed to share that with us. So anyway, what we're talking about is life's trials and tribulations. A lot of people are going through. We mentioned, last week we had a guest. Next week we got another guest coming in on Thursday. I think it was the week before last where we talked about the, afflictions of the righteous and determining if we're right, if we're the righteousness of God. And yes, we are the righteousness of God through Christ. Because of what Christ did and because of us accepting Christ as our personal Lord and Savior made us the righteousness of God. So we are the righteous, and he said many of the afflictions of the righteous. But God said he comes in and he takes care of all of that. So we already determined that. He goes on to tell us on tonight, and this is just a part two, because there's a lot of people going through stuff. Every time I talk to somebody, somebody is going through a trial or tribulation. People are going through health issues. People are going through marriage issues. People are going through financial issues. People are losing jobs. People are losing their homes. All kind of things are manifesting with people, and people are going through it. This is life-type stuff, and it's not new. It's not new because you're not the only person. If you're going through one of those things, you're not the only person going through. There's many going through. Many are afflicted, and it goes on to tell us, in the Word of God, Judges chapters 4 and 5, not going to go there and read it, but it talks about a lady named Deborah. And I like going through the Word and finding men and women of God that went through stuff, because it helps us to understand that we're going to go through stuff. And don't think just because you're a servant of God, and don't just think because you're being obedient. It's good, all of that. But don't think just because you're being obedient and because you're saved and because you're a Christian and you're a child of God, that you're not going to go through. We're going to probably go through even more. We're going to have these things, even more. We hear about certain things. Everybody know about the story of Job and what he had to go through. Everybody know what Joseph had to go through and the outcome of all of them. Think about it. It's always a good thing. They go through hell and high water, but at the end of it, it's a good thing. What the woman with the 12 years issue of blood, what she had to go through before she got whole and before she got healed. We know about those people. Many of us may not know about Deborah. She was a judge. She was a prophetess. She was, she was a mother. She was a wife, right? And, but she was talented, and she was being used. She was a leader, and she was being used by God. And, and she led her people to battle. And so, but she was going through. There was things she had to go through. She had to do it all. She's trying to do it all. She's trying to juggle life like many of us. There's many of you, not just mothers, but fathers, that are going through. You're trying to take care of the kids. You're trying to take care of the fields. Many are in single-parent homes, so they don't have a two-income home. So they're trying to do everything. And the loss of their one income could change the whole dynamic of their family structure, right? But yet and still, we're going through. So Deborah was an example of a woman going through. Not only is she that example, but Deborah's a good example for women that are leaders in leadership positions, because the world, the enemy, will have us thinking that that's not a position for women. That is a position for women. You can be a woman and be in leadership. You can be a woman and be in leadership. But you have to know your role, and you have to know your position as it pertains to which hat you're wearing as a wife, as a mother, as a woman of God. Amen. Luke 1, tells us about a story about Zacharias and Elizabeth. Who is Zacharias and Elizabeth? Well, that's John the Baptist's family. That's his parents. They were barren. They were very, very old, something similar to Abraham and Sarah. But they were very old, and they were barren. They didn't have no children, but God had promised them the children. But it was, but this long wait. How many of us is believing God for some specific, and we've been waiting for years? I know that feeling. I know that feeling. I was almost 40 years old when I had my youngest son. But I have been believing God for years. I'm talking about 20 years. believing God for this child, and it finally came to fruition, you know. But just that long suffering, it's that, and you, while you're waiting, it's sometimes it's suffering to come with it. Yes, yeah, sometimes just because, you know, of our soul, sometimes we get distracted, we become hopeless, we start doubting, we stop trusting God. Let's keep it real. We stop trusting God, you know, and it's not hard for us to stop trusting God. The reason being is because on this earth, we have so many people that we lost trust in. We have so many people that's not trustworthy. So many of us, because of the life situations, we have stopped trusting, you know, not just in intimate relationships, but friendship, work relationships, you know, where people betrayed us. They didn't keep their word. They backstabbed us, and we stopped trusting. So now we build a habit of trust. So now we come into a relationship with Christ, and we're trying to learn how to trust because we don't know how to. Because so many people have let us down that our mode of operation is, I'm just not going to trust nobody. So don't think that that doesn't roll over into our relationship with God. We get to a point where we don't trust him. We're not sure. We read his word. It sounds good, but we're really not sure we can trust him. Can I trust that he'll make sure I get out this jam? And you know what? As many times as he got us out of the jam, we'll still go back to that place. Ooh, Lord, are you going to really do it? And I thought about it. I was driving today, this morning, and I said, man, here it is. Over 2,000 years later, and his disciples are still not trusting him because they wasn't trusting him back then. You remember, we used to get on his nerves. We used to get on Jesus' nerves. What you mean, Coach B? You know, that's about even right before he died, right before he was crucified in the garden. Remember, he had to keep coming back out to the disciples that was there, and they would fall asleep, and he would come back and irritate. I know he had to be irritated because finally he said, Can you just not stay up for a moment? Can you just not pray with me for a moment? I'm in the most crucial part of my life right now because I know what my assignment is, and I got to keep this assignment no matter how I feel about it, no matter how much emotion I have towards this. But I got to keep this assignment, and y'all are supposed to be my homeboys. You're supposed to be praying with me and standing with me, and y'all sleep. Can you imagine? That would have got on my nerves. And I could go through story after story that probably got on Jesus' nerves with us, not understanding. And it was moments throughout the Bible where he would speak. And it would be like he was saying, I'm paraphrasing. Dang, don't you guys understand? I didn't broke this down to you in the simplest terms. And you still don't understand? You've been with me this long, and you still don't know who I am? And guess what? It hasn't changed. We back now. Yes, we love God. Many of us are ministers and evangelists and pastors and bishops and apostles, men and women of God, children of God. And we still act like we don't understand. We still act like we don't understand. And he's saying, and he's giving us in his word. Why we don't really understand? Because a lot of us ain't in his word. Not on a regular basis. You know, when we get in trouble, we'll pick it up and flip through a scripture or something. When we get in trouble, we'll go hard. You know, we'll go hard in prayer and fasting. We'll be going through something. But how many of us are studying daily throughout the day? How many of us? I'm not judging. Because I'm not, but I want to do better. So he tells us about Zacharias and Elizabeth, you know, because of them longing for a child for many years in their old age. But we know what happened. John the Baptist was born, and he set the path for Jesus' ministry. Isaiah 12, Isaiah was chosen by God to deliver an important message to the Israelites. God set up his people for an incredible future of redemption. So God had set up the people. He was going to use Isaiah, not just redemption, but hope. So he set him up a redemption and hope. But before all that could happen, God gave Isaiah an intensive vision that overwhelmed him. How many of us know that God has told us to do some things or instruct us and we get overwhelmed? Like, Lord, how am I going to do that? I'm there because I know what God showed me, and I know I believe where I'm supposed to be, but I'm overwhelmed because I don't quite understand it. I don't quite understand how I make that happen. You know, I see the vision, but I don't quite understand it yet. So it can become overwhelming, and it can become frustrating, and it could cause us to be kind of stagnant because you can't, you know, it's hard to do what you can't, you know, I say it's hard to do what you can't see. In this case, I feel like I could see the vision, but I'm trying to figure out how I'm supposed to cause it to come to pass. I'm sure when God first started talking about the ark, he spoke it to Noah. Noah probably could get a vision of it, but he didn't understand how he's supposed to make it happen. You know, like, okay, Lord, I hear you, but how am I supposed to make, what is it? Because remember, there had been no rain, and so quite naturally, he had never seen a boat or an ark because there was no rain. I mean, and there had been no rain, so I'm assuming no rain means no water. But God began to give him, the more time he spent with Jesus, the more time he spent with God, God began to give him instruction, not just when they was building the ark, but the ark that Noah built, but remember also when they were building the temple, you know, he gave specific instructions on what to use, what materials to use, how long they need to be. If you go back to the Old Testament, it gives exact on what they were supposed to do and how they were supposed to do it. The more time Noah spent with God in his presence, the more instructions he got. Exodus, let's talk about Moses for a minute. Moses, oh my gosh, we know Moses went through a bunch of stuff, right? Every time he went through trials and tribulations. His birth was a trial and tribulation. The sure fact that he was alive and he didn't die at a time where all baby boys was dying or being killed, he didn't, by God's grace, because God had a plan for him. But then he went through one thing after another, trial and tribulation. He had difficult times when he finally, when what God had called him to finally manifested and he was able to get the people out of Egypt, he still was between a hard place and a rock when Pharaoh's army was coming after him. And he knew right then and there how. Now they went through all this and got all these thousands of people out and we're trying to get to safety. And here comes Pharaoh and his army. So now, again, his back is against the wall. And lo and behold, God shows up. And he parts the Red Sea to get them through. To get them through. Amen. We know that story. But that's you don't think that's a trial and tribulation? You don't think that that's pain? Not knowing? We're right here on the brink of, you know, we're right here at the brink of getting to safety. And now all of a sudden we got this situation. Again, I could go on and on and on and on about the men and women in the Bible, as well as many of us today who have experienced or who's experiencing or who will experience. Because if you haven't experienced trials and tribulations, guess what? Keep living. You will experience them because they're going to come. It's a guarantee they're going to come. Matthew chapter 6. Chapter 6, 25 through 34, and I don't want to read through it, but you jot it down after the show, go back and read it. But and I'm paraphrasing, but Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, basically is God telling us not to worry about our life. You know, he tells us not to worry about what we're going to eat or drink or the clothing. You know, he goes on to tell us that if he could take care of the birds in the air, he takes care of the lilies, he clothes it. And he provides the food. He, in other words, in short, he said, don't worry. If I can meet the needs of all these other things, surely I'm going to meet your needs too. That's what he's saying. Surely I'm going to meet your needs too. So he tells us in the last, at 34, he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And do you know, if you think about it, if you think about your life in your day-to-day, every day has something. But we just don't respond to the something all the time, like we, you know, as worry. But every day there's something. Every day there's a situation that takes place, some big, some small. Some we've learned to master, some we haven't. But there's always something that could turn into something, that could turn into something worse. You know what I'm saying? Every day we face something. But some things we just deal with different because we learn how to deal with it. You know, some people got bill collectors calling every day. They didn't just call you on Monday. They called you on Tuesday. They called you on Wednesday. They called you today. And you could have took that and allowed that to disturb your peace. You could have took that. You could have became angry. You could have became mad. You could have been disillusioned about it. You could have been upset. But you didn't allow it. Many of us, some of us didn't, but many of us didn't allow that to cause us to fret. Like, okay, this is a spam number. Click. Not going to worry about that. That's the least of my worries. They got a little saying that says I got 99 problems. That was not going to be one of them. Amen? So you just, you know, you learn how to start dealing with certain things. But that's what Matthew 6:25-34 is telling us. It tells us not to worry. Because by us worrying, it doesn't add 1 hour, 1 day to our life. And guess what? I got some news for all of us. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this news? This is a news flash. All of us is going to die. Just as sure as you live, you're going to die. And what you do between the dash, from the date you came into this earth to the day you leave, that's the in-between is the dash. What you do in the dash is what's going to matter. How do we handle our trials and tribulations? You know, how do we process through life's pain? Do we allow that pain to just take us out of here? Do we allow the pain and hurt of our past to cause us to be bitter and angry? You know, were we abusive? Did we lack compassion for our fellow men? Were we able to love our neighbor like God loved us? You know, those are the things. What, you know, you always know, at least I found, that when a person dies, it's really when you could, in most cases, when you see what kind of mark they left. And I say that because I can remember, and I've seen it often, the one stands out for me particular, and I won't call, but I had a friend of mine that got killed on a motorcycle. And as far as I know, because from what I know, you know, I wouldn't have said that he was a believer. I wouldn't have said that, you know, I wouldn't have never said that. I mean, you know, not that he was a bad person or anything, but he just wasn't somebody that I ever heard talk about the things of God or talk spiritually or anything. And he died, and of course, I went to the, me and my, some of my family went to the funeral. And when we got to the funeral, thank goodness we got there early enough and was able to get seats up front. But his funeral was so packed that they didn't have enough room in the church. People were standing all outside. The aisles were crowded. And this was a nice-sized church, and it was packed. And some people got up and did their two-minute remark. And I was amazed that so many people had so many wonderful things to say about this man, that he had touched so many people's lives. And so when we go around judging people because they're not doing things the way we think they're supposed to, or we don't know, you know, or they're, you know, maybe just not doing things the way we think they're supposed to, and we go to judge them, we want to be careful because we don't know what somebody's relationship is with God. We don't know. We want to hope to think that that my, if my relationship with God is such that I'm shining a light to a dark world, that I'm, you know, that I'm, hey, you know what, hey, that's Coach D, she saved. But in this guy's case, that wasn't, his light was shining, but it didn't shine the way, quote, most Christians thought it was supposed to shine, unquote. You know, it didn't shine like that, but it was shining. It had to be shining because it was touching people's lives. It was causing people to change. Amen? So we don't know where people are at, you know, and it would be better for us to ask somebody where they're at than to assume, So in closing for today, I know this show went kind of short, but I want to go to, I want all of us to go over here, go over to Ecclesiastes, and that's in the Old Testament, and we're going to go to chapter 9. Chapter 9, okay. And I'm going to read chapter 9, verse 9 through 12. And I'm going to read out of the Message. And I want to read out of the Message because I just want it to be in layman terms. Please, jot that down. If you don't read it now, go back and read it. Read it in King James or whatever version that you that helps you to understand the best. I love King James. That's my version of choice if I have to read a version. But I know that a lot of people, it could get kind of difficult to understand King James because there's a lot of old English language, you know, like thus and therefore and that kind of stuff. And so I just want to break this chapter down because, again, we just talked about the cares of this world. We talked about, you know, many of us are afflicted. Many of us are going through things in life, you know. We, you know, one person may be going through a flat tire where another person just got diagnosed with cancer, and we have a tendency to want to weigh which one is more, which one is worse. But to me, whoever's going through something is bad for them. You know what I'm saying? So no matter what it is, if it's a flat tire or if it's a diagnosis, it's still a pain for them. So everybody's pain is legitimate, you know, as far as how they feel about their pain. And we're all going through something. We're all going through something. And sometimes it makes it easier to process through pain when you think about it in measurements because, you know, I may be saying, hey, I'm going through pain because I got to walk barefooted and I don't have any shoes. But then when you think about the person who don't have feet, you kind of have, you know, that helps you put it in proper perspective. Like, man, am I really doing as bad as I thought I was because I don't have shoes when this person doesn't have feet, you know? So so let's go to Ecclesiastes, and I think this was good. I loved what the Message was in Ecclesiastes. I think it's going to be good for all of us. It's a word of encouragement. Is to help us move forward in life, not get stuck. Don't get stuck, but go through whatever it is you got to go through. Just go through it. Trust God through it so you can get to the other end. But whatever he brings you through is going to have to be for his glory. It's going to have to be for his glory. So Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9. Seize. Do you know what seize means? Like take advantage of. Grab. Seize life. Eat bread with gusto. Drink wine with a robust heart. Oh, yes, God takes pleasure in your pleasure. Dress festively every morning. Don't skimp on colors and scarves. Relish life with the spouse you love each and every day of your precarious life. Each day is God's gift. It's all you get in exchange for the hard work of staying alive. Make the most of each one. Whatever turns up, grab it and do it. And Hartley, this is your last and only chance at it. For there's neither work to do nor thoughts to think in the company of the dead, where you're most certainly headed. I took another walk around the neighborhood and realized that on this earth as it is, the race is not always to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor satisfaction to the wise, nor riches to the smart, nor grace to the learned. Sooner or later, bad luck hits us all. No one can predict fortune. I'm sorry, no one can predict misfortune like fish caught in a cruel net or birds in a trap. So men and women are caught by accident, evil and Satan. Man, when I read that, it spoke it all, because we could get so stuck in what we're going through that we stop living, that we stop living. You know, we want to shut down. I'm going to just shut down for 3 weeks. I'm going to shut down. And, you know, I'm not saying anything about when God has ordered you to step aside for prayer and fasting. That's one thing. But don't let depression order that for you, because many of us could get depressed, and now we want to shut down. We don't want to talk to our family and friends. We don't want to go to church. We don't want to fellowship. We don't want to do nothing. All we want to do is shut down, leave me alone, and we want to hold our breath, whoo, until it's over. Has anybody ever been in pain? I don't know, women, especially women on here that's listening in, if you had a baby and you've been in labor, and we have a tendency to want to hold our breath when the pain comes. And the doctor will tell you to breathe, because the pain be so intense that we hold our breath, and if we're not careful, we could pass out because it's so intense we hold our breath and we forget to breathe. And the doctor say, breathe. And it's the same thing with life. When we're going through pain, pain is legitimate. And when we're going through that pain, we'll hold our breath because we just want it to be over. Lord, wake me up when it's over. I don't want to get up. I don't want to wake up. You better make sure that you have yourself around a strong village, a village of people who love you unconditionally, a village of people that's going to love on you and love you through, a village of people that's going to tell you the truth and not tell you a lie, that's not going to let you lay there and die, that's going to tell you to get up. Yes, they're going to get on your nerves. Yes, you ain't going to want to talk to them, but them are the kind of people you want. I got a great village. I got a great village of people that's not going to let Coach D or Denise or Niecy lay down and die. They're going to make sure she's okay. They're going to make sure she's getting up. They're going to make sure she continue to follow what God has called her to do. And I love my village. I thank my village so much for praying with me and crying with me and loving on me through every situation and circumstance. And I just pray that each one of you have a village out there that's doing that for you, that's loving on you, that's saying, hey, you okay? Are you going to be all right? Hey, you better do this. Hey, don't do that. Hey, you need to do this. We want to make sure that we got strong villages. We want people that's going to tell the truth. We don't want people that's going to get, you know, they're going to suck into our depression. They're going to suck into what we're not doing and, or that they're going to feed into our being victimized, you know. I'm a victim. I'm going through this. And you want people to feel sorry for you. You know, something about comfort in that. But guess what? That's not going to be the thing that's going to help you get through that thing. It's not. And I'm saying it, and I know it's not easy, but what we need is what we need. You know, it's one thing what you want, but it's what you need. And what you need is going to be what's best for you. God knows what we need, and he's going to make sure he meets our needs. He's not really concerned with our wants. You know, he said he'll meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So he's gonna meet our needs. And even with that being said, you know, some of us, even with our needs, you know, we think about needs being basic shelter, clothing, and food. Even with that, we have to, you know, we've been so used to being spoiled that looks different for us, because we see ourselves as, I can't see my need being, ooh, Jesus, I can't see my need being met if I'm under a bridge in a tent. You know, that's my thought process. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I mean, if I lose this, if I lose all this and I get to that doesn't look like need being met to me. I don't know what that looks like. That don't register. You know. But those people, whether, you know, people that are less fortunate, people that's homeless, you know, we don't think their needs are being met, but they are. It may not be to our liking. It may not be to our standards, but they are. And some of those are not, and some don't even acknowledge God, don't acknowledge Jesus as their Lord. Amen. So again tonight, I pray what you take away from here is first and foremost that life will be trying, that we will experience pain, that we will experience trials and tribulations. But also we know that we need to go through them and not get stuck in them. But we know that on the other side, that God gets the glory. And God is, and God's glory is magnified. So that means that he's not gonna half step about what he does. So he gets the glory. We process through that pain. He gets the glory. That means, you know, and as we're processing through the pain, we're pursuing purpose, which for us is Jesus. He's the purpose. And then we begin to partake in God's promises, meaning now we're seeing the manifestation of our needs in that. And guess what? Now we also see some of the things we want manifested. Amen? And then the other thing, make sure you have a good village, a great village of people surrounding you that that's not going to let you die. That's not going to let you, you know, just become totally hopeless. That's going to do wellness checks. And a wellness check don't mean I got to get on the phone, but just a text message and say, hey, I'm just checking in with you. You all right? Everything is okay? And, you know, you got certain people that's assigned to you in this kingdom journey. There's people that's assigned to us. Everybody don't have, you know, everybody doesn't have the anointing and the ability to do that. And how we know is because sometimes we'll get mad at people because we're thinking, that's my friend or that's my family, and I've been going through, and they ain't called me. They ain't checked on me. They ain't encouraged me. And then we get mad at them. We fall out with them. But they're not assigned to you. They might be assigned to, you know, somebody else, another group of people. But the ones that's assigned to you, they're assigned to you. And as long as, you know, and so make sure that whoever you are assigned to, make sure that the person or persons that you're assigned to, that you're following up, that you're doing your wellness checks with them, that you're making sure they're okay, that you're praying for them, that you're lifting them up. Father God, we thank you for your word on tonight. Lord, it's been amazing. It's amazing, Father God, that you want us to live life and live life abundantly. Father God, that you don't want us to get stuck in trials and tribulations, but you want us to move forward, Father, in the things that you called us to, trusting you all the way, Father, not leaning into our own understanding, but acknowledging you in all our ways that you may direct our path. Father God, we trust you tonight. Father, for those of you that struggle, with trust tonight, Father God, for those whose faith has become weary because of the things that they're facing, Father God, I pray that you will renew their faith, Father God, Lord, that you will give them an ample amount of trust to trust you, Father, but we know that's a gift from you. So, Father God, give us the gift of trust, Father. Allow us to trust you and have faith, Father God, for now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We walk by faith and not by sight. So, Father God, it may look like this today, but, Father God, we know you're the type of God that it could change tomorrow. So, Lord, we just trust in you of all things. For every care and concern, we lift up before you, Father, because you care for us. Lord, we just thank you for the breakthroughs that's going to manifest, Father, in the days to come. We thank you for the opportunities and the doors that will be opened up. We thank you, Lord, that you will give us the wisdom to enter these doors, Father God. And, Father God, help us to recognize our blessings and recognize your grace, recognize and take advantage of your grace, Father God, to recognize our blessings, Father God, and treat them accordingly, Father. To not take for granted the things that we think are little, but not take them for granted, Father God, but to be grateful, Father, and thankful for all that you're doing, all that you've done, and all that you will do. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. I hope something was said that just penetrated your spirit and that you can roll up your sleeves and get out there and get back on the grind. Amen. So next week, tune in with us next week. We do have a special guest, Miss Chandra Medina, and a mighty woman of God, and she has a word for us on next Thursday. So I'm excited to hear how the Lord is going to use her. But I'm excited about it. I'm excited about how this year is manifesting, that there are, you know, that this desire for me to want to use this platform to help people get to where they need to be in the kingdom. I'm so glad that God has given me this platform and that I never gave up on it, even though it's been times I wanted to, that I didn't give up on it. And I believe that that he has it for a purpose. And one of my desires is to help others who God has called, but out of fear, they haven't moved forward, that Processing the Pain or MCB Network will become the platform that will catapult them into their purpose, that it would provoke them to purpose, that they will move forward in the things that God has called them to. Some people won't move forward because they're scared to talk in front of a crowd. You know, they're scared to, you know, minister. And so this platform gives them the opportunity to come on and be able to do that, to get past that fear so that they can get where they need to be in the kingdom. Because when we're not obedient to doing what God has called us to do, we're holding up some things in the kingdom. There's things that need to take place in the kingdom that's waiting on our obedience. You know, if God told you to start a ministry or start a business or write a book, those are things that need to be done, especially if it's kingdom stuff, because that's part of the process of this kingdom, you know? So we want to make sure that we're getting in alignment and doing what God has called us to do. Amen. So again, I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. And I look forward to being with you next Thursday, same place, same time. Know that you are loved and appreciated.